We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 24. Title is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Finally. Okay, so we'll start from text 35. We'll read the translations and we'll read the Sanskrit for the first text, who has a purport. Okay. After saying this, the sun god discharged his semen into the womb of Prita and then returned to the celestial kingdom. Immediately thereafter, from Kunti a child was born who was like a second sun god. Because Kunti feared people's criticism, with great difficulty she had to give up her affection for her child. Unwillingly, she packed the child in a basket and let it float down the waters of the river. O Maharaj Parikshit, your great-grandfather, the pious and chivalrous King Pandu, later married Kunti. Vrida Sharma, the king of Karusha, married Kunti's sister Shrutadeva, and from her womb Dantavakra was born. Having been cursed by the sages, headed by Sanaka, Dantavakra had formerly been born as the son of Diti named Hiranyaksha. King Drishtaketu, the king of Kekaya, married Shrutakirti, another sister of Kunti's. Shrutakirti had 5 sons headed by Santardana. Through the womb of Rajahidevi, another sister of Kunti's, Jayasena begat 2 sons named Vinda and Anuvinda. Similarly, the king of the Chedi state married Shrutashrava. This king's name was Damagosha. The son of Shrutashrava was Shishupala, whose birth has already been described in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudeva's brother, named Devabhaga, had 2 sons born of his wife Kamsa. These 2 sons were Chitraketu and Brihadbala. Vasudeva's brother, named Devashrava, married Kamsavati, by whom he begat 2 sons named Suvira and Ishuman. Kanka, by his wife Kanka, begat 3 sons named Baka, Satyajit and Purujit. King Srinjaya, by his wife Rashtra Palika, begat sons headed by Vrisha and Durmarshana. King Shamaka, by his wife Shurabhumi, begat 2 sons named Harikesha and Hiranyaksha. Thereafter, King Vatsaka, by the womb of his wife Mishrakeshi, who was an Anapsara, begat sons headed by Vrika. Vrika, by his wife Durvakshi, begat Taksha, Pushkara, Shala, and so on. From Samika, by the womb of his wife Sudamani, came Sumitra, Arjuna Pala and other sons. King Anaka, by his wife Karnika, begat 2 sons named Rita Dama and Jaya. Devaki, Pauravi, Rohini, Badra, Madira, Rochana, Ila, and other wives and others were all wives of Anakadundubi, Vasudeva. Among them, all Devaki was the chief. Vasudeva, by the womb of his wife Rohini, begat sons such as Bala, Gada, Sarana, Durmada, Vipula, Dhruva, Krita, and others. From the womb of Pauravi came 12 sons, including Bhuta, Subhadra, Badrabahu, Durmada, and Badra. Nanda, Upananda, Kritaka, Shura, and others were born from the womb of Madira. Badra Kaushalya gave birth to only 1 son named Keshi. Vasudeva, by another of his wife, whose name was Rochana, begat Hasta, Hemangada, and other sons, and by his wife named Ila, he begat sons headed by Uruvalka, all of whom were chief personalities in the dynasty of Yadu. From the womb of Drita Deva, one of the wives of Anaka Dundubi Vasudeva came a son named Viprishta. The sons of Shantideva, another wife of Vasudeva, were Prashamsa, Prashama, Prasita, and others. Vasudeva also had a wife named Upadeva, from whom came 10 sons headed by Ranjaya, Kalpa, and Varsha. From Shideva, another wife, came 6 sons, such as Vasu, Hamsa, and Suvamsa. By the semen of Vasudeva in the womb of Devar Rakshita, 9 sons were born, headed by Gada. Vasudeva, who was a religion personified, also had a wife named Sahadeva, by whose womb he begat 8 sons, headed by Shruta and Pravara. We get some purport. Pravara Shrutra Shruta Mukhyamscha Sakshadharmo Vasun Iva Vasudevas Tudevakyam Ashtaputran Aji Janat. Okay. Pravara in some readings Pauvara. Shruta. Mukyan, headed by Cha, and Sakshat, directly. Dharma, religion personified. Vasun Iva, exactly like the chief Vasus in the heavenly planets. Vasudeva, Shila Vasudev, the father of Krishna. To whom, indeed, Devakyam, in the womb of Devaki. Ashta, 8. Putran, son. Ajijanat, begat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The 8 sons born of Sahadeva, such as Pravara and Shruta, were exact incarnation of the 8 Vasus in the heavenly planets. Vasudeva also begat 8 highly qualified sons through the womb of Devaki. These included Kirtiman, Sushena, Bhadrasena, Riju, Samardana, Bhadra, and Sankarsana, the controller and serpent incarnation. The 8th son was the supreme personality of Godhead himself, Krishna. The highly fortunate Subhadra, the one daughter was your grandmother, purport. The 55th verse says, Svayam Eva Hari Kila, indicating that Krishna, the 8th son of Devaki, is the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna is not an incarnation. Although there is no difference between the supreme personality of Godhead, Hari, and his incarnation, Krishna is the original supreme person, the complete Godhead. Incarnations exhibit only a certain percentage of the potencies of Godhead. The complete Godhead is Krishna himself, who appeared as the 8th son of Devaki. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Adeshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We have here a very advanced topic. It's about Krishna and his incarnations and his expansions. I remember at one point we were in Romania and we had the appearance of Advaita Acharya. And the devotee who was giving class was saying, oh, this is Advaita Acharya is God. And he tried to explain something, and some new people came, you know, and they were looking like, oh my God, what's this? Because actually, our philosophy is quite complicated. Like now, on 27th of January, we have appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya, and someone will say, oh, Advaita Acharya is God. Good. And then a few days later, we have appearance day of Lord Nityananda. And then we will say, oh, Lord Nityananda is also God. And then you have appearance of Lord Chaitanya, and the question is, who is Lord Chaitanya? Oh, Lord Chaitanya, he is also God. Yes. Okay. And of course, you'll have even more esoteric days, like when appearance day of Lord Varahadev. Because these are more or less like, they seem like human incarnations, so they're more reliable. And then you like, if you give class on appearance day of Lord Varahadev, it's really hard. Especially if some new people come, because you have to introduce it really, you know, like from this perspective, that perspective, that, and eventually you have to break the bad news to them, you know, like, the God is a bore. Oh my God, what? Of course you have Matsya, who is a fish, and you have Kurma, who is a turtle, so you're like, oh my God. And then of course you have Lord Nisimha, who is, it's not even clear, but it's half lion, half man. So this is really a very advanced topic to understand, and to understand how all these are God at the same time. Like, oh, it's strange. And then, of course, people who would hear this philosophy would ask, how many gods are there in Hinduism, in your Hinduism? And it's true that actually in Hinduism nowadays, they don't have a clear idea who is God. If you go to most of the Indians in their home, you'll see they have Ganesh, they have Lord Shiva, they have Durga Devi, they have maybe, I don't know who they have, but it's full, you know, like, you see, maybe it's not the whole 33 million demigods there, but there are quite a lot. And then you have this guru, and that guru, and this other guru. Because for them it's not very clear who is who. So then you have the whole, because maybe one of them is God, you know. They are like, okay, we have everyone here, so we're safe. So, of course, they are not gods, and Srila Prabhupada calls them demigods. And of course, they are not on the same level as Krishna. But then, we have to understand this principle of Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. So we have to understand there's this Krishna and his direct expansions, which are Vishnu Tattva. They are on this Vishnu potency. And they have the same potency, actually, as Krishna. They give the example that you light one candle from another candle, and the second candle has more or less the same potency as the first candle. But just that you have an original candle. So it's really important to understand this principle of Vishnu Tattva, and you have these direct expansions, and then you have spirit souls, like we are. And these spirit souls are sometimes more advanced and sometimes not so advanced. So these demigods are actually Jiva Tattva. They are spirit souls, like we are. And it means that actually you can, if you follow the right process, you can become Indra. if you really put your mind to it that I want to become Indra, you can do it. It might take some time, but you can do it. You know, but you cannot become Krishna. Actually, Indra is not so much a name. It's like a position. It's a president. You have in Bhagavatam some references. In this millennium, this personality will become Indra. So it's not. Anyway, so this is quite important to understand the difference between Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, to understand that Jiva can never, never, ever, ever become Vishnu Tattva. Never. And of course, you have amongst this Vishnu Tattva, you find in this verse that Krishna is the origin of everything, of all this. Like you have the same reference in First Canto, chapter 3, where there is a list of expansions of Krishna. And at the end, it said, Atecham sa kalapum sa Krishna stu bhagavan svayam. That all these, they are expansions or expansions of expansions of Krishna, of the Lord, but Krishna is the original person. It's, and of course you have the Brahma Samhita, first verse from chapter 5. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidanana Davi Grahana Diradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karana, which says mostly the same thing, that Krishna is the source, the origin of everything, and he doesn't have another origin. Sometimes people would ask this speculative question to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, Krishna is the origin of Balaram, of Sankarsana, and what's the origin of Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse. He says, Krishna is the origin of everything, and he has no other origin. Okay. Anyway, if they want to speculate, they can speculate forever. Of course, there's this story. I'm not sure what the source of this, because I heard it a few times. There's how the Krishna and Balaram came from the hairs of Lord Vishnu. You know? What's the source of this story? Anyway. You hear a few times, but I didn't find any Shastric reference for this this story. Anyway, if you can look, it's quite clear. If you read the Shastra, it's quite clear that Krishna is the origin of the other expansions. So this subject, understanding Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, is very important, because it gets you to a very nice, very good conclusion. If you want to become God, bad luck. There was one. There's so many people who have this philosophy that now you have a little problem, but if you do this a bit of meditation, you will become God. And there was this devotee who was explaining to these people, and they had some public program, something. And this guy was coming and say that he will become God. He said, like, okay, are you God now? No. Is God eternal? Yes. Okay. Is all powerful? Yes. Okay. So if you're not God now, he's not going to die. So how are you going to take his place? Because he's God, and he's also eternal. So bad luck. So then what we can do is only we can become a servant of God, which is actually our constitutional position. And it's not as bad as it sounds for materialists, you know, like for materialists, it really sounds, what? Are you calling me a servant? No way. And also, Krishna has also this attitude of service. He doesn't, especially in Vrindavan, he doesn't care that he's God. And actually, nobody cares that he's God. No, the cowherd boys don't really care that he's God. They just love him. Yeah, okay, he's nice. There's this story where they are playing these games. I don't know exactly. And Krishna loses. And they say, look, now you have to carry some of us, someone from us on your back, because you lost. You know, losers carry the winners. That's the rule here. And then Krishna says, but you know, I'm God. Whatever. You're not God. Do you think? You're our friend, Krishna. Come on. And then he's like even expanding. I don't remember the details, so he's expanding and showing this. And Vishnu expansions, and they're like, okay, today you're okay, but tomorrow if you lose, you'll have to carry us on your back. Because in Vrindavan, nobody cares that Krishna is God. You know, they just love them, it's their friend. So, and also, Krishna doesn't want to be, oh, I'm God here, because, but of course, so, and he also comes as Lord Chaitanya to show us how to be a servant. So, as they say sometimes, Krishna wants to be a servant and we want to be God. Bad luck. So, that's our position. And the idea is, of course, there's different schools who worship different forms of Krishna, actually. There's many worshippers of Krishna's Vishnu. There's many worshippers of Lord Ramachandra. And there's many worshippers of Lakshmi Narayan. And this is all bona fide, you know, because the principle is that we should be worshippers of Vishnu Tattva. It's what is not considered bona fide is worshipping of demigods. So yeah, different devotees, different advanced devotees, they have different tastes. They worship different forms of the Lord. So this is, of course, bona fide. But Lord Chaitanya came and he chose to be formally part of Madhvacharya's Sampradaya. And one of the reasons, one of the main reasons, is that in the Madhva Sampradaya, they worship Krishna, in his form as Krishna. And all the other schools, they worship, they worship mostly Lakshmi Narayan. And so that's why he chose to be formally. Of course, from philosophy point of view, it's philosophy of Madhvacharya and philosophy of Lord Chaitanya are completely different. But this part is really common. And so Lord Chaitanya came to give us this worship of Krishna in his most intimate form of Krishna. And it is described that this, because this is the sweetest form. There's four qualities which cannot be found anywhere in the other incarnations. Who knows which are them? I don't know, but I can read them. It says, this is from Nectar of Devotion. He is the performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes. The pastimes Lord Krishna has, nobody else has. He can attract all living entities all over the universe by playing on his flute. He is surrounded by devotees, endowed with wonderful love of Godhead, and și Panchatattva Kijai și Gornita Kijai. He has a wonderful excellence of beauty which cannot be rivaled anywhere in the creation. It's the most beautiful. So yeah, sometimes this is really hard to understand how Krishna is the supreme and is a cowboy in Vrindavan. Because most of the people expect that the supreme must be big, you know, like he must be big, and that's same problem Lord Brahma had. When Lord Brahma, as Maharaj explains, when Lord Brahma saw before his going and praying to Lord Vishnu to appear, and then Krishna appears in Vrindavan, and Lord Brahma is looking and is like, well, they say this is Lord Vishnu, but come on, this is just a young boy. And he also, as Maharaj says, he has some fruit salad in his left hand. He doesn't even know that he has to eat with his right hand. So what kind of God is this? Of course, Lord Brahma is very advanced. But this is the problem also Lord Brahma has to had to understand, that actually this is the most intimate form. This is the source of Vishnu. And of course, there's this pastime, and he steals the cowherd boys, and Krishna expands all the cowherd boys and calves in. And when Lord Brahma comes back and he's like amazed, and then he sees that all these are Vishnu forms, he understands, oh, oops, maybe I did a little mistake here. Maybe, you know. So, this is very advanced topic, and that's why this is the probably the only tradition where these details are there, because in Christianity, for example, they don't have any information about God. They have some information. Okay, Lord Jesus Christ says, you have to love God. And the only information you find about God himself, not the Son, is in the Genesis, where he says that he has created man in his own shape. That's it. That's all you know. So he must be somehow human. Must look something. But that's it. That's all the information you have in Christianity. And for Muslims, I met this day one young Muslim guy, and I tried to give him a book, and he said, "Oh no, I'm Muslim," and he opened the book, the issue, and he was looking at the pictures. He says, "Look, this is something we cannot do." He saw a picture of Krishna, because in Islam, they cannot conceive any form of Krishna. They cannot conceive any form. Any positive form is, they know it's God, but you cannot imagine how God looks like. Hmm? No, I mean, probably there's, Muslims have also different understanding, but he was saying that to imagine a form of God, this is haram. This is abominable. Because you can't imagine a form of God. And actually, he was like, you can, if you have this book in your home, you're not a Muslim anymore, because this is haram, this is abominable. And of course, he told me that he's this kind of Muslim, that he's drinking alcohol and smoking, and so, but this was not so haram. I mean, this was bad, but it was not as bad as having a picture of Krishna in his home. So eventually he said, okay, I can't take this book, because this is haram. Actually, I was just
enjoying him saying haram, because this is the same example Haridas Thakur gives in Harinama Chintamani. He says how the Muslims will be saved, and there's like and it's given this example that they will say haram, and they give the example that this Muslim is on the he's attacked by the by a boar, and he's dying, and he's loudly saying haram, haram. And then because this is considered as ha o ram. So how the Muslims will be saved by chanting haram, o Lord Ram. Anyway, this so I was but the idea is that this information is not present in most of the traditions. One of the reasons is because this information in Canto 10, to really get it, you have to be on the liberated platform. So obviously this guy who was smoking and drinking was not on the liberated platform, probably. So, that's the point. And so to really understand these topics, we have to be, to get purified, to understand them. So that's why in many of these traditions, they don't have any positive information about the Lord, how Krishna looks like. But in our tradition, we do have, and we should study this, and it's really advanced knowledge. And as there is this Lila with Srila Prabhupada in this in Australia, I told you before, on Srila Prabhupada on this talk show, this talk show guy, he's always saying he was renowned for humiliating his guests, and Srila Prabhupada comes and he puts a picture of Gopal Krishna next to him on the couch, and this guy is like, old man with sentimental religion, I'm gonna smash him, you know, like it's gonna be an easy one. So he asks Srila Prabhupada, is this your God? And Prabhupada looks at him, you know, like, you don't want to mess with Prabhupada. He looks at him and says, my dear sir, you must be a Christian. Yes. So please, please, tell me everything you know about God. So this guy starts, and after a few minutes, he's like, okay, I don't know much, actually. And then Prabhupada looks at him and says, my dear sir, you don't know anything about God, and we know everything about God. So please sit down and listen. So then the rest of the talk show was Prabhupada gave class. You know, like, this guy who was smashing everyone, he's like, sitting, listening. So yeah, this is the whole idea, is that this is a really advanced knowledge, and there's no, it's not existing anywhere else, so we should really evaluate and study. Anyway, I'll stop here. If there's some questions, concerns. Okay, yeah, wait, there's some microphone somewhere.
Thank you. We all know that Indians over exaggerate everything, and that higher tattva can become lower tattva, not contrary. And if Krishna is married or single, we don't know really, but in which loka. But if Chaitanya did sannyasin, you cannot be sannyasin before becoming either single or married, or that means that Chaitanya is not Sri Krishna himself, he is just in the mood in Radharani, and Krishna gives people like Nag, this is also like Krishna, special mercy when he sees that this soul will not fail him anymore. Do you agree?
Well, we have to, people say many things. So we have to see what's the conclusion of the Acharya. Krishnadas Kaviraj says that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radha.
But we know Krishna, Sri Krishna is just one person.
Yeah.
He has a flute and Balaram, his first brother, his only brother, was only came from his flute. And he's his brother, his first expansion. He's Mridanga, he's fruit, but he's not Sri Krishna, and he's higher than Vishnu. And they say Vishnu is Krishna. It's contradictory.
Yeah, there's a hierarchy there. How Krishna is appearing as Lord Chaitanya and being Krishna at the same time is the same problem Narada Muni had.
That is the same thing as we say, I'm God, you are God, he is God. That's the same problem. That's my vada.
No,
that's my vada.
No,
I told you, if somebody is God, if Krishna and somebody else is God, they also, I can say, I'm God. I will never say this. I'm normal.
Of course. But Lord Chaitanya actually is. No, this is the. Just a moment. So it's the same. This is same problem Narada Muni has. Says Krishna. This Krishna has 16,000 wives, and how he's handling this?
But he has the one blue form, and blue Krishna is only blue.
Yeah, but he's.
But he has red heart. I can say, red warm heart that his disciples are in.
Okay. Yeah.
Haribol.
Okay.
To su njegove realizacije, there are his realizations.
Yeah, yeah. We should see what the shastras are saying. So it's no problem. You know, like Krishna can be in many places. Okay.
A bit in connection to this, you've said that. These Muslims don't imagine, we also don't imagine forms of God. It's also haram for us. No?
Yeah.
Because that's obviously the case. There are millions of forms of God, but we don't imagine not even one of them. We accept from Vishnu to Balaram to Krishna to Lord Chaitanya to who is to Ram, to Lord Ram, Lord Narayan. So we don't imagine. No? There are innumerable forms, but even one of them is not imagined by a devotee. No?
Yeah, that's why they have this 10 commandments in Christianity that you should not imagine your own form of God. And they sometimes interpret this in the same way, and they say this is what we're doing is idol worship. But actually, these forms we have they are coming from the Shastra, so we don't imagine, as you said. So yeah, this is bona fide. So the rule actually is to not imagine something, not that they put it in the way that you should not have any form, but we don't have imagined form. We have forms which are according to the shastras and which are revealed by the acharyas. So yeah, okay. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.